Welcome to the Weird Science Podcast. I'm Justin.
And I'm Shane.
You are listening to the podcast where comedians explore everything weird about science. Today's topic, we all decided we are not brainwashed.
Oh, we did.
Good. We all got together.
Okay.
We had a meeting, and we all decided we're not being brainwashed.
Cool, that's good, because I don't want to be.
Yeah, it's the science of brainwashing.
Oh, fun.
Thank you for listening. Thank you to our patrons and our Spotify premium subscribers who get bonus content. And it's good to be back in the saddle recording episodes again. We're at the Weird Science Podcast headquarters here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And we have a lot of cool content coming out, and I'm very excited about this episode.
Yes. Also, if you're new to us, this is a free episode. So if you're new to us, you can get a back catalog, all our back catalogs on Spotify of our previous iteration, Conspiracy Beer Me. You can still listen to that. Also, we'll be posting all our videos on YouTube. So if you like those, subscribe to us there, because we'd like to be able to offer premium YouTube content as well. We just got to get to 1,000 subscribers. Yes. So that could be you. So
thank you. Yeah, it'd be awesome. Yeah. So please do subscribe to us, like us, follow, whatever. You know how
to do all. Works. You know, okay. It's been,
But then maybe hold that thought until the end of this episode, because it's going to take a dark turn.
Oh, perfect.
So if you like to be scared, this is one of the more frightening episodes that I think we've ever done. But it begins with a lighthearted moment out of the Russian state where an advisor to Vladimir Putin claimed that the Ukraine military, through help from the U.S., will become unified through gay sex.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like the Greek Spartans. He said they're creating gay super soldiers.
Nice. Finally, someone's doing it.
Yeah. I mean, he said, quote, they have artificial political science fascism created by American and British technologists that will turn them into zombies, into cult members. I think they will force some to become homosexuals.
Mm.
These renewed troops of Ukraine's armed forces zombified and unified through gay sex.
Okay.
Doesn't sound bad.
No, I'm fine. Yeah.
Along with cult members ready to sacrifice themselves. This is what they're preparing for us in the spring 2025.
Okay. Well, we talked about a gay bomb at one point, and they're doing it without the bomb.
They're using a mixture of natural language processing. Neuro-linguistic programming.
Okay.
And other brainwashing techniques is what he said.
Okay.
Now, I mean, I want to pause and say the reference to the Spartans is pretty cool, because the Spartan army of ancient Greece was the most powerful army of the day. Mm-hmm. One of the things they did, or at least there's evidence to suggest, is that they had their soldiers develop homosexual partners within the army under the theory that you'll fight harder to save your gay lover.
Interesting. Okay.
Which makes the movie 300 way more interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Like all those abs make sense if that's just a gay orgy behind the scenes.
yeah, absolutely.
Right? If that little narrow slot, that's the glory hole.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to keep the Persians out.
That's how you do it. You got to do it.
I want to rewatch that whole movie with this knowledge.
Yeah, they need to update the soundtrack, make it a little bit more fabulous.
I mean, as gay porn, the 300 is far better as a movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes total sense. Hey, guys, let's all leave our wives and go to this isolated strip of land.
Yeah, if we put our shields together, no one will see us doing stuff under
here. Yeah, and like there's constantly like just bodily fluids on their face and they're excited. It's a real great movie. But the neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, as it's called, is a pseudoscientific psychological program from the 70s. It was part of that human potential movement.
We
talked about that in a prior episode. But the human potential movement, it's sort of closely aligned with the New Age movement. And neuro-linguistic programming was this idea that you could reprogram your brain.
Okay.
Most of the scientific community just outright rejected it as cult-like. Mm-hmm. It shares some similarities with some of the cults that you may be familiar with. But I wanted to say that it's not exactly brainwashing.
Okay.
And When the Russian advisor accused America and Ukraine of brainwashing soldiers, in my head I thought, well, that's interesting because the term brainwash gets bandied around a lot these days. Like if you watch the news at all, it seems like every time I turn it on, like the January 6th rioters are now saying that they were brainwashed.
Oh.
Or, you know, you see that drag queens are brainwashed, the LGBTQ community is brainwashing our children, or some people say teachers are brainwashing our kids. Even so ridiculous that a U.S. congressman said that that globes are brainwashing us into believing the earth is round.
Oh, my God.
This is literally a quote. Oh, all the globes everywhere. I turn on the TV, there's globes in the background. Everywhere there's globes. You see them all the time. It's constant. My children will be like, Mama, globe, 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 globe. They're everywhere. That's what they do to brainwash.
Who said this?
This is Congresswoman something Taylor.
Oh, my God.
She literally is like everywhere. She said it's for me, it's not a conspiracy. If it's real, why are you pushing so hard everywhere I go? She's basically saying, if the world's round, why are you constantly?
Yeah, why do you got to tell us?
Why
so
are you
much?
Doing it so much? Yeah. Why is there globes everywhere?
There's a point. I mean, how many people are like, I'm the straightest dude here? And you're like, no, you're gay.
No, right? Well,
so maybe there's don't, a
me
truth
thought,
to
me,
that.
Me think thou doth protest too much.
Yeah.
Round earthers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is weird that I think that. When I heard this story out of Ukraine or Russia, and I started thinking like, wow, we do hear the term brainwash a lot.
Yeah,
I was like, well, what is the science of like the science of brainwashing? Well, luckily for us, there's a 2004 book called Brainwashing: The Science of Thought Control by Kathleen Taylor, a great book, and a little. I mean, in the scientific community, I think the one critique that you hear is that it's a little dumbed down for the masses.
Sure.
So it did cross over into popular thought. Okay. It relies heavily on Robert J. Lifton's classic, which is I think more respect of the scientific community, which is Thought Reform and the Psychology of Totalism.
Okay.
Totalism.
Oh.
And all of this, this idea of brainwashing really came about in the wake of World War II with the person, the journalist who coined the phrase, Edward Hunter.
Okay.
He took a term from Maoist China to wash the brain.
Oh, interesting.
And Americanized it a bit and reported on prisoners of war who had been brainwashed, who would literally do whatever anyone told them to, they believed anything. Now, most of them were tortured to,
sure,
that, to
yeah.
the point.
Someone pulls your fingernails out, you'd be like, hell, you're right. Dude.
You're right, whatever you want. Right.
Yeah.
And Earth is flat.
But
you know, it also is in the wake of World War II in the 1940s that we get the trinity of dystopian novels like Zamoratin's We, Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, and of course 1984 by George Orwell. All of those books featured totalitarian regimes that had very sophisticated mind control, thought control programs, usually a mixture of drugs, surveillance, physical torture, or other things.
And were those written after World War II?
They were.
So basically they looked at what the Nazis did and said, let's just expound upon it just a little bit for some,
yes,
what the future could be.
Yeah, they just took what was actually happening and then just sort of pushed it a little further.
Okay, sure.
As we progress, you'll see like it's easy to point a finger at communist regimes like China, which openly practiced torture and thought control, and maybe communist Soviet Union. I don't want to exclude from that the United States government. We covered in depth the experiments that the CIA has done to sort of see if they could manipulate people.
Absolutely.
Which answer, yes, especially with drugs. You know, we've covered it extensively how there is really compelling evidence that Charles Manson was to some degree, a CIA operative that may not even have realized what he was. And of course, the Manson family, people there claim that they were brainwashed into doing sort of horrific things.
Yeah.
maybe using the tactics that were used on Manson himself.
Okay.
But all of this is being studied, and it shows up in pop culture and things like the Manchurian Candidate. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the extreme. And so I wanted to dig into, like, well, can brainwashing really happen? And if it does happen, how does it happen? Mm-hmm. And the end result of all that is probably the scariest video I've ever seen. Most frightening thing I've seen on the internet. What I want to try to do is lay out a framework that Kathleen Taylor does, you know, with a lot of help from Lifton.
Okay.
And give you a sense of, like, how brainwashing works, the techniques that are used, and then we'll look at maybe how it's being applied in the modern world today.
Okay. All right.
Now, right after Taylor's book came out, luckily for her in terms of book sales, there was a Al-Qaeda attack in London. It doesn't get quite the news that 9/11 got in the United States, but oftentimes people called it our 9/11. It was a terrorist bombing in London.
Where was the bombing?
Maybe like several places.
Oh, interesting.
I probably should have looked that up.
It's interesting that, like, if it's their 9/11, we have forgotten, but they have not forgotten us.
I don't think, because we talk about ours all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how we roll, man.
I know the
Tower of London, and I know it was Al-Qaeda.
Okay.
And I know that one of the facets of it, because Taylor talked about it, is that Al-Qaeda had been really successful in recruiting Londoners.
Yeah, a lot of, like, because I remember there's been knife attacks. There's been lots of, like, people that they can kind of speak to that are impoverished, that they can align with that ideology. And I don't know the number of terrorist attacks in London, but I feel like there's a ton based on just their demographics.
Okay, so here's what the London bombings, also referred as 7/7.
Oh.
So not 9/11, 7/7.
Okay. Doesn't have the same ring to it.
Series of 4 coordinated suicide attacks carried out by Islamic terrorists that target commuters traveling on London's public transport during the rush hours.
What was the year of this? I remember this.
2005.
So 2005.
It was trains. And she Taylor was asked to write a piece about how is it that a group like Al-Qaeda can recruit people that will then inevitably do something like a suicide bomb.
Right, because it seems crazy. It
seems crazy in your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, well, how does one get from, like, the first thing that she says they do, brainwashers, and again, I want to point out that what we're talking about is not physical torture brainwash. Mm-hmm. We're talking about coercive brainwash.
Okay.
Something you might associate with, like, a Manson family or Patty Hearst.
Okay.
You know, the Patty Hearst incident or the Jonestown or any of the cult-like. Yeah. But the first thing you do is isolate them in outlying camps.
Okay.
This makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
Is that when you're isolated from your normal sources of information, your family, your friends, people that will say, hey, are you all right? Are you?
Yeah.
Like, so you isolate them. And we saw this. We covered the NXIVM story. Which is called, you know, like, people were going on these retreats, and cults often like to get you on a retreat. Like, there's these meetings, and then they're like, if you want to advance in this group, you really need to go to the winter retreat, and they get you away. All your food, everything you do is sort of organized and structured, and you're very, very isolated. Taylor writes that brains, even well brought up adult brains, we depend heavily, our neurological synapses depend very, very heavily on information reaching us via our senses. Mm-hmm. So beliefs can be reinforced and grow stronger when we see, feel, and interact with those via our 5 senses.
Okay.
And the more you're away from those beliefs, right, the less likely you are to believe something. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So people are just like, you know, I've never seen that, you know, I see this every day. And the idea is that if you can control the information going in and prevent the information you don't want, if you can restrict information.
Oh man, I see where this is going.
Then you're definitely going to be able to start to rewire the neurological pathways that create belief systems.
Yeah.
So what you do is in these isolated incidents, you control the information. So if you're Al-Qaeda, fewer Hollywood aspirational movies go in and more stories about the Western greed, right?
Right.
And there's a progression of this. It's like, oh, have you seen this? Have you seen this? And so you're not seeing that like Western lifestyle is great. You're seeing that like Western lifestyle depends upon the enslavement of the rest of the world so that these people can keep, you know. So you're seeing videos of like slums in Indonesia that just live off of our broken computers looking for like little bits of metal that they can resell to survive.
Yeah.
You're seeing those stories. So again, your brain starts, because you're not experiencing the information that you used to have. Now you're starting to only get fed this diet of information that kind they want you to see.
Kind of in the same way all of the Star Wars shows have told us the Empire is bad. We've never really seen all the good times the Empire has.
I saw some great things in the Empire. It looks really organized.
Yeah, they got
it. Didn't look half bad.
No, it wasn't. I mean, sure, they did bad things, but
what did they do bad?
I mean, they blew up a planet.
Well, they blew up a planet because somebody wouldn't tell them where the rebel base was. Just stop rebelling. It's like a kid.
Yeah.
You're like, why did you destroy my phone? It's like, because you were lying to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I told you, I'm going to destroy your phone if you don't tell the truth. And you made this problem.
Yeah. I like that we went, fuck the man, to the man's okay.
The man's okay. He's just doing his job. Yeah,
he just wants to go home to his wife and his empire kids.
I mean, just peace. I just want a peace in the universe, man. So the thing that happens is, that creates a level of uncertainty in the person about what they believe.
Oh, okay.
And that's the key turning point.
Oh, okay.
In brainwashing. When you get the person like, I don't know what I believe.
Oh, damn. I'm about right there right now. A lot of ideas.
Yeah, I feel like we are getting brainwashed every day. Stay tuned. It's going to get dark very soon. Now, the second or the next phase is repetition.
Okay.
And this is like key. Like once you get that uncertainty, you want to just repeat. It's why cults have these like phrases.
Oh yeah.
Like these phrases, like, you know, today's a new day or whatever you're only as good as your beliefs. Like
you're good enough, smart enough, people like you.
In Maoist China, they had thought reform academies, and you literally from morning to late at night for days upon days, the thought reform academies in Maoist China, you would just hear the same messages.
Aren't they doing that with the Uyghurs now in China?
Yeah, right.
Re-education camps, which is,
you know, thought reform is the more polite psychological way of saying brainwashing, but it means the same thing. You're just repetition. Eventually, what will happen if you repeat that information enough is that the convert will develop an emotional attachment to those new beliefs. They will defend those beliefs. Mm. They will die for those beliefs. Now, I will say that everything that I've described can be reversed pretty quickly.
Oh, really? Just take a walk in the woods?
No. You have to do the process again.
Oh, okay.
Right? I mean, in many ways, the term brainwashing is a really, really interesting phrase. Because if you think about it, you really are scrubbing the brain.
Sure, yeah.
You're cleaning it out. Mm-hmm. And then you're putting something new in it. Mm-hmm. One way I heard it described was phase one is unfreezing. So you're melting away old ideas. Mm-hmm. Change, new ideas are reintroduced, and then you're refreezing. Think about just cleaning out your freezer, right? And then putting new stuff in there and then solidifying it. And now you have this like change person, right?
Which is terrifying that we as animals, this is possible. Because it means that we are never in control of what we're doing.
Correct. It means that if you want to be abstract about the whole idea, would Republicans say our teachers are brainwashing us? The answer is, well, absolutely they're brainwashing.
Yeah, that's education.
That's what education is.
Yeah, exactly.
They are reinforcing a set of ideas.
Yeah, you got to do your times tables over and over to get it.
If you don't want your children to be brainwashed by the school system, then you homeschool your kids. Yeah. That's why there are people that do that.
And we see how that works.
I mean, they're socially, they're great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's most socially adept people you'll ever meet are homeschoolers. In many ways, we are programmed entities. Mm-hmm. And that's just a reality of our brains. Mm. Now, I think that the difference between a brainwashed person, I would like to think, because in doing all this research, I'm like, it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to go back to the ridiculous idea that the Earth is flat and that the globes are, like, I don't have any real way to prove the Earth is round.
Right.
I mean, like, every bit of evidence I've ever read suggests that Donald Trump lost the election in 2022. Mm-hmm. But I only get my information from a certain number of sources, right, and it's all confirmed by people that pretty much agree with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the idea of stepping out of that somehow and thinking for oneself is a little bit, I think I do a pretty good job of it.
I think most people think they do a good job of it.
But I don't really know.
Yeah, we never know. I mean, especially because NPR actually did a story on this just yesterday about cable news networks being just propaganda machines, regardless of what side you're on, because it's a 24-hour news cycle that these people just watch constant news from whatever is considered their source, and it's mainly opinion. Right or left sides, and they're just constantly just getting that. It's like, well, maybe I can look at the other side, but then you're just getting the other side of that propaganda. So really, is there a medium that we can look towards? It's tough.
Yeah, no, I mean, and you know, most underrated Will Ferrell movie of all time is Anchorman 2. Mm. It is, if you've never seen Anchorman 2, and you probably don't have any reason to, its commentary on cable news is just fantastic.
Yeah, I would say that movie and then Idiocracy, pair them together and you get where we are today.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And here's where it's going to take a dark turn. There is a former engineer for, I think he worked for Google and for YouTube.
Okay.
He has a foundation called I think it's the Center for Humane Technology.
Okay.
His name's Tristan Harris. You can find this interview online, How Social Media and AI Hijack Your Brain. Mm-hmm. He's testified before Congress and all these things, but I want to listen to Tristan Harris talk about a couple things.
Okay.
And now in the context of brainwashing, what we just described, I want you to think about what he's saying in terms of social media and how it interacts with our brain.
Okay.
Okay. So this is the first part I want to listen to.
I actually started into this conversation by first studying persuasion or magic. Actually, when I was a kid, I was a magician starting at about 6 years old. And it teaches you to see people's choices, quote unquote, in big air quotes, very, very differently, because instead of seeing what people do and think and choose as being a product of some kind of sovereign process, it teaches you that there are ways of influencing people's attention, their choices, by structuring a menu in a certain way, by using emphasis on certain keywords, by changing the representations people use, by activating certain cues. You can really change how people, quote unquote, choose and navigate reality. And then when I was later in college at Stanford, I studied at this persuasive technology lab that basically taught a lot of young engineering students the principles of persuasive psychology. So you learn Edward Bernays, you learn clicker training for dogs, you learn how do casinos manipulate and shape the choice-making environment that gets people to play slot machines, and then marketing and pickup artistry. And there's just this infinite domain encyclopedia of stuff that influences the you know, evolutionary instincts of the human animal, the human social animal. And then my friends in that class were the founders of Instagram. And so what most people don't realize is that there's a sort of body of work that the tech industry pulls upon to figure out how can we keep people engaged with their products. And so that's where...
So you're hearing a Stanford engineer who worked for many of the big Silicon Valley companies say that for him, this conversation begins with his understanding of magic. And I found that fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, the art of magic is giving people the illusion of choice.
Yeah.
I want you to pick a card. They already know what card you're going to pick, or mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what card you pick. No matter what you pick, a good magician has given you the card they want you to have, and you think you've arrived there.
Yep.
Or they already knew what you were going to pick because they forced the card into your
hand.
Yeah. If you want the red deck or the black deck, they already know, no matter what you say and how I structure this, do you want to change your card? I already know that you're not going to change your card, or if I think you are going to change your card, I knew you were going to change your card because of subtle differences in how you chose your card or just your personality type. And a magician gives you the, that's the art of magic tricks. It's right. Like, gosh, I he didn't do anything. I did everything. All of a sudden, like, he read my whole mind. He did all this sort of stuff.
They're like marketers. Honestly, they're like marketers. They're like they, he mentioned keywords and stuff. It's like marketers. One of the reasons I hate agency life is because I feel like marketers are no better than car salesmen because they know the buttons to push to make you do something they want to do. It's like buy this product by utilizing these specific cues. And it's like, you're shady as hell, dude.
Oh, think of the where he said, like, he went to Stanford with what turned out to be the founders of Instagram, who were his friends.
Yeah.
And they sat in a persuasive psychology lab together and studied the techniques of casinos.
Yeah.
Right? And I think probably most people now are familiar with the sort of basic principles that there are no windows in casinos. There is all artificial light. There is no visible exits in a casino. They pump in oxygen to a casino.
They pump in smells. They pump in tons of stuff.
Right. The lights blink at a slot machine at a certain rate. They figured every single thing out to keep you in the casino for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And if you lose, you're gonna get a windfall. That's going to make you think your luck's turning around and you're going to take more money out.
Yeah.
And they have
all these touch points, whether you're winning or losing, to know how to change the game for you. I remember we were at a penny slot in Vegas. Or no, maybe it was a nickel slot, and that thing kept pumping stuff out. And we were the only people winning on like the row. And eventually a guy came over and was like, hey, would you like to join our rewards program? Here's a card. And it's like, yeah, of course you have an eye in the sky. You know exactly what we're doing. We're acting excited about a nickel slot. And you're like, well, these people might just buy into more expensive stuff if we just come and approach them and make them feel welcome.
Right.
It's so crazy. It's such a shady business.
It's right. And all of that psychology of persuasion then became written into some sense to the code of Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And into Facebook and into TikTok and all the other social
media. And video games, mobile games do this too. It's like, how do you keep like loot boxes at the right time? And how do you...
Correct.
I mean, it's gamifying life. It's crazy.
And then Tristan Harris later on talks about how now that artificial intelligence is now the sort of undergirding sort of mechanism driving these applications, how that has even, from what they did...
Right,
where you have a group of engineers trying to do, you know, persuasive psychology to an AI
that has full access to all your data.
All your data, listens to you constantly, knows when you wake, knows when you sleep, knows when you're happy or sad or hungry.
Santa Claus.
It knows everything.
I think it's particularly important for the AI community, who always talk about, you know, we have these hypothetical future scenarios where the AI runs away searching for a goal. And what if we can't control it? And what if I were to tell you that's basically what we have right now, that the Facebook newsfeed is a runaway AI and YouTube recommendations are runaway AI that are pursuing a simple goal of whatever shows you, whatever keeps you on the site longest. And it's, you can't even control the thing because now it's steering 2 billion people's thoughts. So let's go into what you just said about playing chess. You know how when you're doing something and some friend of yours sends you a link, and the link is a YouTube video, and you click on it thinking, okay, I'm about to interrupt my work, but I know those other times I watched, you know, a bunch more videos on YouTube, but this time is going to be different. I'm just going to watch this one video, and then I'm going to get back to work. And then somehow you wake up after 2 hours, and you're like, what the fuck just happened? And it's because YouTube was playing chess against your mind. As soon as you landed on YouTube, you activate a supercomputer to figure out, based on everything that's ever worked on you in the past, well, every other video that's gotten you to watch, what's the video I can show next in that right-hand sidebar or make autoplay after this video is over? That's the perfect video that you will find irresistible. That everything in your body, I'm not talking about a cat video. I'm talking about, for you and I, it's like the perfect Buckminster Fuller video that we're like, oh my God, I've never seen that one, or whatever it is. And that YouTube is basically succeeding at playing chess against us when we find ourselves falling into that trap. And we know what happens when human beings play chess against computers and we lose. When Garry Kasparov lost playing chess, he lost for all time. There's never a moment from that moment onward where human beings are simply better at playing chess than computers. At that point forward, the computer can see more moves ahead on the chessboard for all of human history for all time.
So, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. For all time, we're fucked.
We're fucked.
God damn it.
So to sort of break down what he said, when you sit down and you engage with TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, any of these sort of modern social media apps, you are playing, unbeknownst to you, you are playing a game against an opponent that you probably don't even realize that you're playing. Mm. And two, you are hopelessly, completely outmatched in that game. You are, like, Kasparov, if you don't know, Garry Kasparov was reigning world champion who played a modern AI chess game. He didn't just lose. He was humiliated.
Yeah.
And so you see, like, it's at that point, humans are no longer better at chess than computers. And just to be clear, that computer taught itself to play chess.
Yeah.
It was given the rules to chess. It taught itself. And then it destroyed the best human player, which essentially means chess belongs to computers now.
Yeah.
So in that sense, like, when you sit down, you are playing a game against an opponent who is, like, you are hopelessly overmatched. You have no chance, and its single solitary goal is to keep you clicking, keep you watching, keep you engaged. The more you do that, the more information it gains about you. The only way to beat it is to turn it off. And what is it doing? It is thought reform. It is unfreezing your ideas and supplying you with more and more information that it wants. Now, that's not to say that there isn't good content on
here. Sure. You can choose what you want to be brainwashed with, at least.
Yes. And if you're someone that's motivated to be a better person, it's going to keep feeding you stuff that make you feel like, well, I only use it for this purpose.
Right, right.
But it's not just when you're engaged with it that, like, when you're, it wants to figure out, when does Shane likely to look at certain content? When is he likely to buy something? When is Shane likely to be upset? Like, I know Justin had a comedy show.
Interesting.
After comedy shows, he's very susceptible to these types of videos, right? I also know whether he did well or if he did bad, because I know who he texts or what he says in his text after a bomb, and I can feed every one of you, every one of us is being followed and watched and surveillanced constantly by one of these AI computers, and it will figure you out. And then once it has you, right? And again, I didn't realize till I watched this that I was playing a game, essentially. And the game was, can I figure you out enough that you will not put this down?
I think I realized it, but
Put it down?
No, that's the thing. It's like, it's just because it's like, that's why we all got to be Amish. But man, I got to tell you, this is the wrong morning for me to take mushrooms before the podcast. Yeah, I'm like, God damn.
Drugs make you way more susceptible to brainwashing.
Damn.
They also can wake you up.
And what I'm saying is, I love this podcast. I will listen to it all the time because it's my favorite.
I mean, it's...
I'm brainwashed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Well, you know, that's, you know, go back. Our title of this this pod comes from a very funny personal moment in my life when my mom joined a cult for a while. Mm-hmm. I got wind of it. I was a bit estranged from my mom at the time. I heard about it through my siblings. My brother had started going to meetings with her. This was a time in my brother's life where he was a bit of a wild card too. Mm-hmm. So my mom was trying to get me to come to a meeting, mm-hmm. and she was, according to my siblings, like just dumping money into this group.
Yeah. Which
was a red flag for me. I started digging into the group a little bit, which was very hard to find information. Mm-hmm. I finally found like a human that I could talk to about the group. Mm-hmm. They were clearly reading off a script. Like, if someone asks you this, tell them this. And my mom just was like, just come to a meeting, Justin. What is wrong with that? Like, and then I would come up with like, well, because like this, and she'd be, and then she would have this like thing that was baked into her head.
It's like a timeshare. It's like every reason you want to get out, they'll be like, no, but here's why you need this.
Yes, right.
We'll drop the price every time you try to leave.
Yes. So finally, I was like, Mom, I'm going to be very candid with you. I think that you're in a cult, mm-hmm. and most of what you say sounds like you've been brainwashed.
Wow.
And she's like, well, no, I'm not. And here's how I know that is this came up at one of our meetings and we talked about it as a group and with our leader. And we all decided that we're not brainwashed. That's the most amazing thing I've ever heard in my life.
I love that. Yeah.
I literally was like, that's the most, you all decided. And this is what we've done.
Yeah.
We've all decided that we're not brainwashed.
Right.
And the people that invented these things and Tristan Harris, thank God for, like, he's literally saying, no, you are playing every time we log on to these apps, and their sole goal is to subjugate us, to make us into willing slaves almost.
Yeah.
I understand that using that term slave is a bit of a is a bit controversial. But what I mean by that is that where you have little control over what it makes you feel or think. He goes on to say, like, the system is so sophisticated that when it senses that you're about to log off, it will hit you with likes, shares.
Oh, man.
And it will hit you with something that will increase your dopamine and make you want to stay.
I'm going to post comedy clips and I'm like, I'm leaving Instagram. That's going to be that's going to be my first line before every joke and see if that gets me more views. I'm hoping.
This is the last video I ever post. Yeah. It's like 4 million
exactly.
Views.
I'm like, I did it. And I'll just keep doing that.
I don't get a million followers after this video. I'm out of here.
That's right. It's worth a shot.
Yeah, it is. It is, you know, I hope everyone is out there. Who's listening to this will go out and find the Tristan Harris, How Social Media and AI Hijack Your Brain.
And we'll post the video in this clip as well.
We will. And you know, our runaway AI that are pursuing a simple goal of whatever keeps you on the site longest, and you can't even control the thing because now it's tearing into 2 billion people's thoughts.
Yeah, dang.
As soon as you land on YouTube, you activate a supercomputer. And that is insane. Now, I want to come back because just recently, the Center for New American Security published an article that brings all this back together because, you know, we think about Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all these things. In some regard, at least, you might say, well, yeah, what are they trying to do? They're trying to ultimately make money and sell us on things. And is that really different than, say, cable news?
Right. Not much different.
I mean, right, because
just more
cable
granular.
News is like, I mean, Rupert Murdoch figured out if I cultivate a news organization that appeals
to a demographic and I build a following, then people will advertise on that. I'll make more money.
Yeah.
It'll be more persuasive. And then what they did is they then started to smuggle advertisements into the news itself, where it became indistinguishable whether you were hearing news or a planted story.
And that's happening on cable news. It's happening on, so I watch CBS This Morning every morning, and they took a page out of the Today Show, which I stopped watching years ago because they started doing this thing where it's like, here's CBS deals. And they start doing just QVC for half the show. And it's like, well, you came here for the news and now you trust us. Here's some products you might like. I'm like,
right.
You make so much money already. Why are you selling a shit? But they're like, well, we know these people are bought in. And they just, they're like, we got a captive audience. Let's make some money.
Right. And so I understand, you know, I grew up in an age where kill your television was like a thing, because people thought it was also mind control, which
it is.
It is.
Yeah.
But I want to bring it back to brainwashing, because the Center for New American Security said, wrote this article, which, again, I never really sort of clicked into place until doing the research for this. But they wrote in 2019, China's leader demanded that his party state to leverage AI to, quote, comprehensively increase the ability of the Chinese Communist Party to mold Chinese public opinion.
No.
Russia's Vladimir Putin has similarly doubled down on AI-enabled propaganda in the wake of his Ukraine invasion, including a fake video of Ukrainian President Zelensky calling for Ukrainians to surrender. These efforts are buttressed by a dizzying array of Chinese and Russian agencies tasked with thought control, cultivating a competitive ecosystem of digital propaganda tools underwritten by multi-billion-dollar budgets each year.
Wow.
And the Center for New American Security is saying we need immediately to stop AI and think about it in terms of what does AI do in the hands of a dictator,
right,
of a totalitarian regime. Mm-hmm. And I would go a step further and say, well, don't rule America out of that totalitarian regime. Yeah. I read in doing this research that Donald Trump's political campaign, before they released any online advertisements, they tested 60,000 iterations of
Holy shit.
So they're literally saying, do we get more clicks if we change that? What if we do this color? What if we do that? What if we leave with it? They're testing, and AI doesn't sleep. Supercomputers, you know, they work in computational levels and speed, which you cannot fathom.
Right.
And so again, what a communist China or a totalitarian Russia or a big government US uses to control Shane might be different than it used to control Justin, which might be different than it's used.
But the end goal.
But it will figure you out. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a part of 1984 where, you know, Big Brother is watching you, but there are these, you know, screens, right? And at times the people of Oceania, the country in 1984, are forced to watch the screen. And that image of being forced to watch has been replayed in countless, you know, you think of Clockwork Orange.
With your eyes wide open.
He's clothespinned, his eyes are pinned open, and he has to watch these rehabilitative movies. The genius of the modern brainwashing, based on what, you know, Kathleen Taylor laid out in her seminal work, you know, that laid out the science of brainwashing, is that we leave the TVs on and we watch them because we think we want to. Rather than being forced to, rather than having your eyes pinned open.
Right.
Rather than being tied to a chair and made to watch it, or whether, you know, you need to feel you just like, oh no, this is what makes me happy.
Well, it's, or not even happy. I mean, I watch the news like a dummy because it is a security blanket for me, because that's how I was raised. And that's just all sad stories. My eyes are pinned open to tragedy. And I'm like, why am I even watching this? But I tune in every fucking day because I'm like, I got to know what's happening. And I'm like, maybe it'd be better if I didn't.
I mean, people quickly learn. And artificial intelligence learns exponentially faster.
Yeah.
That, like, doesn't really matter what the story says. It matters what the headline says.
Yep.
And tragedy sells, and, you know, controversy sells, and people are more likely to click, and sex sells. And
yep.
Even if it's not a sexy story, put a sexy picture up there. And eventually, and again, and I can't stress enough that, like, when NBC runs an ad, it runs the same ad for everybody watching.
Yes.
When AI runs the ad, it runs a million different iterations of that ad for you specifically at the certain time that it knows you're most likely to watch it, click on it, engage with it. And even if it knows that's what will turn you off, it'll skip over that eventually because you are playing against a computer that you cannot beat.
Right. It's granular. It knows all your moves. And it can, that's a crazy thing. So like if you watch a commercial on TV, like you said, it's set to, here's what I think my target audience is. We have a general idea of what this ad should be based on our research. AI has its fingers in everything. It could write an ad with a different headline every time, or a different voice every time, different copy every time. It could actually make it sound grammatically incorrect if that's how you listen and how you learn. It's like, oh, this is a real country bumpkin. Let's forget a few words, or let's change
the R's
speech. Yeah. It's great. Like the Bojangles commercial, the rooster gets me. And I'm like, I'm not even a rooster, but they figured it out. They're like, this guy wants chicken every time he hears the rooster. We are such at such a disadvantage when it comes to fighting this, or other than just turning off electricity, just turn off the power.
Well, I think if you go back to unfreeze, change, refreeze, or to this sort of isolate, control the message, create confusion, repetition, change, like go back, like. I think like the answer, if the problem is that I think that we're being brainwashed by massively smart computers controlled by very few number of companies, then to me, the answer is like, I got to isolate from those.
Right.
Like we cover a lot of interesting information. Those of you that are just listening, I have three school age children, ages 11 through 17. And they're very often very interested. Like if I've recorded up, they'll be like, what was the topic?
Yeah, today? Yeah.
When I was researching for this, I said, hey, everybody needs to come in here. I'm going to tell you what we're talking about today. And I read them some of that stuff from Tristan Harris's thing. Mm-hmm. And even my kids were like, oh. Like, well, they were like, oh, my God, that's insane. And then they went right back to the couch and opened the app up. Right?
Yeah.
Which I think is what most people will do. I mean, it takes incredible courage to sort of cut the cord and say, I'm deleting these apps.
Right. Yeah. It's like a security, like I said, the news is a security blanket. It's like,
It's I'm really,
uncomfortable.
It's,
let me go to this.
And I have not dug into, if somehow Tristan Harris, if this reaches Tristan Harris, which we could probably reach out to him. He's not unassailable. I'd love to have Tristan Harris come on to the pod and talk about how he sees technology moving into a humane way. Now he's done TED talks and stuff. So
sure. Smart guy.
But I would like to know like what is a proper solution to these things? How does one engage in social media? Because there are parts of it that I like being connected with family, friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Without feeling like you're being played by a supercomputer that is out to defeat you by addicting you to its content.
I mean, there have been attempts to create these apps, right? We've seen, I remember when Facebook came out, there was like some app that came out that was like, it had some dumb name, but it was like, just be in touch with your family. And it was like, just keep your family in a feed. But those never work because you have to compete against the power of Facebook or the power of Twitter. Like you can't, as a standalone app where you're like, I'm just going to allow family and community to foster, that app doesn't work because you don't have ad revenue to keep it going.
Yeah, and one would probably guess that if a alternative of a viable alternative to Facebook came out, Facebook would build robots to infiltrate that and just gum up and shit on the site until you're like, it's just crap.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's kind of how Reddit's become. I think Reddit is mostly bots now, I think.
Yeah, it's really problematic.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
Because if you're connected to the internet, you're fucked. I mean, you can't, like, because anybody can get in, really, unless you have your own private $1 million server with advanced security. Like, yeah, you're not going to be an island. There's no way to be an island on the internet.
Yeah, and you know, Reddit had me for a long time.
I'm still stuck.
But more and more I've noticed that, you know, your home feed, mm-hmm, unless you carefully curate it where you're just like, I only want it from groups that I want to engage with. But on my, like, I have a few profiles, but like, if you just have a open profile, it will figure out.
I mentioned, like, we've talked about DoorDash many of times, and now it keeps feeding me DoorDash on Reddit, and it's like, not like the ads, but it's like r/DoorDash. Yeah. And it's
very entertaining community.
It's pretty fun, by the way. I'm like, do you want to see more from this? I'm like, I didn't even want to see it in the first place, but it, like, I have new jokes I've written about DoorDash because I am seeing this community, but it chose to just feed it to me because we mentioned it in conversation
once. Right. And I was first drawn towards Reddit because it did feel like the old internet, the pre-AI internet.
Yeah, like old Digger.
Yeah, like you know, I always think about my favorite online experience, oddly enough, it was America Online.
Oh, wow.
And the chat rooms where you would find, or you know, I call it the message board age on the internet, where like there were just good message boards.
Yeah.
You go in certain rooms, and then you would look at the threads, and you go on the threads, and you'd read the thread, mm-hmm, and you'd interact, and it was like, I don't know. And then sometimes you'd meet somebody, and you're like, oh, this person's hilarious, and you'd DM and laugh about it. And that was like I felt like I was in a bar communicating with people who were of a like mind.
Yeah, and you were discovering things, you're engaging brains, you're like, you're finding new ways to communicate. And it felt novel at the time because it was a new thing.
You know? Yeah, and my wife... in this old age of the internet, I mean, we had trouble having a child. We were infertile for 5 years. I mean, she got involved in like an infertility group where we went and met up as a group in several times. And she still has friends from that group that she sees in person.
It's amazing. Yeah.
One person in that group, like, our kids go to school together.
Oh,
like,
crazy.
Like, so it's like weird that like that is what like the internet felt like. And now it feels like what we're talking about, like, is another means of thought control.
Yeah. We really are just there to feed ourselves, feed our ego, feed our emotional insecurities with these apps. So really, we're not really communicating with most people anyway. So it's just, it's mostly forcing us more to be in a closet.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's doing it at a scale and speed that is terrifying.
Right. And then when you do meet up, you're like, why am I at the Capitol? Oh, shit. I got to go. Yeah. Whoops.
Yeah.
Guess we're all in this together. I agreed that this is my reality.
Yeah. I mean, people in the American political culture sort of ask, I don't understand how 35 million people, Donald Trump gets indicted again and they give more money.
Yeah.
I'm like, one, you don't understand how powerful this computer that you're playing chess against is.
Yeah, it's not Trump that's playing 5D chess, it's his computer.
Yeah, he's just figured out that this is how you do mass propaganda on a scale that we've never seen before in our entire
terrifying
world history.
Terrifying.
And secondly, what they don't understand is they don't understand how programmed they are. Right?
Right. Yeah.
So you're not able, like, if all you see are the videos where people go to Trump rallies and find the Trump supporters who sound like idiots.
Right. Great videos. They're fun.
Then you don't understand that it's 35 million people and 35 million people, guarantee you there's someone that you like and you relate to.
Yeah. And they can be very smart about what they're talking about. I think we're often focused. I think both sides are often focused on the dumb idiots in the room because it helps fuel your propaganda machine. But there are very smart people on both sides that know what they're doing and are doing what they can to move their ball forward.
Right. And you know, this is, again, it's like having listened to a ridiculous claim by a Russian advisor that essentially they were brainwashing Ukrainian soldiers to become super soldiers by turning them gay, which is a sort of laughable thing. I mean, but you think about like that in some ways is propaganda that worked for Russia for 100 years.
Yeah, they're still pushing anti-gay shit over there.
Oh yeah, and I mean that was always. Yeah, I mean, you throw an anti-gay and you say, hey, Ukrainians are coming and they're gay
and Russians they're Nazis, are like, gay Nazis. Whoa, that's crazy. Yeah, how can they be Nazis and gay? That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, that's the double whammy, man. It's like, man, but that's sort of in my mind. It's like that was the propaganda that many of us. I mean, I think I saw that in the beginning of my life, and now what we're seeing is a method of thought control that is so terrifying to me, and it fits the science of brainwashing, and it does it at such a rate and such a speed and with such sophistication that, you know, if you think about if you were captured by an enemy and tortured, do you think that they could get you to say and believe whatever they wanted? I'm telling you now, the answer is yes.
Yeah, fucking, I like fingernails, and if you take them away, I'll be like, I'll do anything you say. Right.
And I would assert, and this is sort of my final thought, that a computer, which given the opportunity by you, can study you and figure you out and unlock you as a creature of habit and psychology in such a way that it can persuade you to say, believe, do, feel anything, is far more dangerous and far more effective than some sort of torture system.
Oh yeah,
in post-World War.
Yeah, because it does it without you knowing.
It does it with your willingness.
Right. What is it? What's the phrase? God damn it. So it's something about sugar and honey and bees. You got the what's the phrase?
Spoonful of sugar helps the.
No. It's like
get bees out of your ass. Bad honey out of your chest.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Fuck it. That's what you can. What is it? You can lead more bees to water with honey. I don't know.
Something. You're right.
Yeah. What is it? Something like milkshakes that bring the boys to the yard. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's much easier to get people on your side if you're nice under the guy. Yeah, I'm being nice, but working in the back.
Yeah. What do you think? Okay, here's a test.
Okay.
I'll go on TikTok today. I don't want to do it under our official Weird Science Podcast TikTok. If I go on TikTok today and I was like, hey, this is a very strange TikTok. I don't want you to like this. I don't want you to follow us. I want you to delete the app. How long before TikTok's like, you're shut down?
Probably
instantly. We should open a message board that's just like the old internet.
Yes.
And it's just like, this is the old internet.
What if we got rid of our Instagram and our TikTok and just
Instagram, TikTok,
and just Facebook, you just had to know YouTube. About us.
You just had to know, just like, yeah, we don't like, I want you to come into the house. And it's a real closed, tight system where it's like, yeah, we don't
like to add
anybody can come.
Yeah.
But we're a little bit, you know, like, you know what? I tried to post on a Reddit today. And you got a bounce back, and it was like, you have to join before you can post. And I was like, yeah, of course. Yeah, so I joined, and then I posted again, bounced back again. They're like, no, you have to be an active member of our community, which we define as having this many likes.
Jesus Christ.
On this many threads. And but part of me was like, you know what?
But it makes sense.
You know what? That's not bad. Because
it keeps the bots out, right?
It keeps the bots out.
Well, you think it does, but then they're doing.
But then they just ChatGPT their way into the system. But but yeah, having a little house where you're like, hey, look, you can't get in here today. You apply. It's at least a week. You got to be vet. You got to have a couple people inside who recommend you. And it's like, that's almost what you want. Like,
yeah.
I think people want the internet, but they want it to be like, there's some curation there.
Yeah.
Like the people that are here are like sales, overt sales completely prohibited.
Yes.
I don't know how you monetize any of this, which is, well, here's how you monetize it. It costs a little bit of money.
Okay.
It's the New York Times.
Well, I mean, that's just Patreon. If we just said to join our Patreon, you have to send us a letter. And
I'll take $4.99 a month.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you have to actually physically send us a letter that says, I would like to join this. It'd be like an old mail, like an old fan club.
Oh, you know what you have to do? You have to tear a page out of a book.
Ooh.
Because that's a thing a bot can't figure out. Yeah. So that's a trick that I think people are using now. Is like you have to send them a physical object.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
A lot of places are doing that now.
All right, if you want to join our Patreon, starting now, tear a page out of your least favorite book.
Yeah. And send Shane one half and me the other half. Tom Sawyer our way to like a million followers. It's like, no, you're not allowed to join.
Nope, it's all right.
This has been super fun
and terrifying.
I have definitely used. I candidly have weaned myself off TikTok.
That's good.
So I have not even. Sometimes when I go on our official site, I'm like, oh shit, I have like messages I haven't answered and stuff. Instagram and Facebook are weird for me because as a comedian, those are ones that I use to market myself, mm-hmm. answer messages, and interact with fans. So I do go on those. If I find myself scrolling, since I did the research for this, I've been like, put it down.
Yeah.
You're in a game and you're losing. The only way to win is to stop.
Yeah. I'm going to delete Reddit. I just can't. Can't. It's just, it's so easy to just be like, well, I'm bored. I'm on a road trip. What am I going to look at? And then, but it does, it's interesting because like we talked about like what you're fed becomes your life. And I was at dinner with my parents the other day and they're like, okay, tell us what's happening with the UFO stuff. And I felt like a goddamn moron trying to explain this to them just because of the shit I've been reading. And I was like, well, let me go. I didn't go into this, but I was like, well, we should talk about the MU or the fucking flight that disappeared from a flash of orbs and stuff. And it's like, my parents don't care about that. They don't understand. I'm just sounding like a crazy person, which honestly is what most of the people across the aisle sound like in terms of politics. So it's like, just get off everything and try to just relate to your people.
Yeah, I think that's it. Is that like the secret is the way to win the game is to say, I just hang out with people.
Yes. Yeah.
I just enjoy people.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you go to a comedy show, and this happened to me recently, I was headlining a show, and a woman in the front row, seemingly having a good time, but she was filming and videoed me the entire show.
Oh.
That's how she processes life.
Right.
And she thinks of life as like, this would make a great video.
Yes.
This would make a great picture. I can't. And like,
I think we're all guilty of
it. She posted it as soon as the show was
really
over. Like, I was like, because originally I thought, like, this woman's taping my set without my permission.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But before I got over, she had already tagged me. And then I got on Instagram and it was just like.
And that's how you build followers.
Which is right.
Weird. But also, it's like, also just enjoy the show.
Right. I mean, it reminds me of a friend of mine was at the Grand Canyon and there was an RV there. Mm. Like, this is old school where like a guy had like an old video camera that like kind of like sit on your shoulder.
Yeah.
He was filming it the guy was yelling at his wife like, hey, you should get out here and see this. It's beautiful. And she's like, I'll just watch the video.
Whoa. What?
And like that is as crazy as that sounds. That's essentially what we're
engaging in. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's like,
oh my God.
You see people are like, oh, I love that restaurant. Have you been? No, I saw a TikTok on it and I love it. It's so cool. And you're like,
oh my God, you have an experienced life.
You have an experienced life. And that's what I feel like is the, they want us to stay engaged. Like you are being controlled by a computer that wants you to willfully say that's what's most important.
Right. And I think that like, outside of the nefarious stuff, this is a prime example of this. My wife, when we pull up Netflix, I'm like, we should watch this movie. Let's look at it in Rotten Tomatoes. And she goes, why don't we just watch it and decide for ourselves? And I'm like, what a novel concept. We're going to actually not look at reviews before we watch a movie? We could just waste our time? You're crazy. But wasting time is honestly how we form opinions on our own without the internet. So if you want to do that, get away from reviews. Get away from everything and just experience it.
Right. Yeah. That's really, you know, I tell my kids all the time, I will watch a movie with you because like somehow like now there was a time when I felt like watching a movie was a zoning out, but now it feels like family. Like we're sharing an experience together.
Yeah,
it's like we're not all on our phones, and we have to sort of say like everyone put their phones upside down.
Yes, yes.
Don't look at them. And then my wife's always the one. I know people that go when they go out to dinner, friends. They all put their phones in the center of the table.
That's smart.
And they say, first person who picks up their phone pays the tab.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And then if not, we all pay our own.
Yeah, and John Early's like, I don't want to fucking pay it. That's a deep cut.
I mean, it was just another way of saying, like, let's turn off the technology and get back to, like, sort of human connection, which is probably why depression rates are skyrocketing.
Yeah.
It's probably why anxiety is skyrocketing, because we don't know how to be engaged with humanity without the use of our devices.
Yeah.
I feel like we could talk about this all day.
We could,
And the reason why is because we are talking human interaction.
Yeah.
You're listening, human interaction. We become the anti-social media app podcast.
I'm down with that because I haven't posted Instagram in a while and fuck all that shit.
Kill your apps.
Delete your apps.
But I will do this. This is what I will promise to the you, dear listeners, is I'm going to create a TikTok account called Delete the Apps.
Yes.
I'm going to make a video and I'm going to say essentially a minute synopsis of what we've talked about.
Love it.
And say, hey, if you're seeing this video, I don't want you to follow me. I don't want you to like the video. I don't care if you comment. What I want you to do is delete the app.
I love this. And link to this.
And say,
now that podcasts are on.
Follow Weird Science Podcast because we need money.
We need.
But in general, no. But I'm going to say delete the apps. I'm going to say, here's why you're playing a game with a computer, against a computer that you cannot beat. And all it wants you to do is keep scrolling, keep clicking, keep liking, keep sharing, so that it can control you more and more, what you feel, think. And I'm going to post it. And I'm going to tell you how long it is before that account is banned.
Yeah.
And it might be all my, I might be all my accounts. It might be me.
Ed, you know what? We'll find out, but we're over this shit anyway. So that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting. It'll be an interesting thing to figure out.
Yeah. It'll be fun to see how it plays out once the machine is listening.
Oh, it's already listening.
I mean, we have Chinese mics. We're fucked.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they're already.
I got like a Huawei phone or whatever.
Huawei.
That's a convenience store, isn't it?
Yeah, Wawa. And there's a Huawei.
A Huawei is the Chinese phone that they won't let in most countries because they spy on you.
They do.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been really fun.
Yeah.
It's always a blast to have y'all listening. If you're new, please consider just joining. It would be great if we could do this with just people who are fans and followers and not have to be on the app. So
yeah, I would love that because honestly, I think that's what everybody hates. We all hate that shit. So let's just get off it and just engage where we can. Send us a letter. We'll figure it. We'll get a P.O. box and you can start sending us cookies, brownies, anything fun. Maybe just a nice
you know
letter.
People used to send us beer?
Yeah, that was great.
But it wasn't even like canned beer from a reputable brewer.
It was like bottled by himself.
I don't know that we're going to drink this.
We did drink it.
We did.
We were fine. Die. We survived.
Sort of. Here we are. Well, this has been fun. This is the Weird Science Podcast. I'm still Justin.
I'm Shane. Peace.
That is like one of the most terrifying.
Yeah.
That interview with that guy.
Yeah, that's fucking scary as shit.